All right, welcome to episode 30 of Everyday Ecclesiology. Everyday Ecclesiology. My lips aren't working. I'm Daniel Greenhall.
And I'm Desiree Greenhall.
And our goal in this podcast is to explore what it looks like for laymen within the local church to be faithful members of one another. This podcast has four segments. We just did the first, introducing ourselves, who we are. Number two is what we're doing. Then we'll get to what we're learning, and we'll finish with what we're reading. So, Desiree, what are we doing?
Everybody's getting sick and injured, apparently.
Yep. Yeah.
Of us. Everybody yeah. of us.
Sophia's doing fine.
Yeah. I suppose. Last week was rough for me, and then the start of this week was rough for you.
Yeah.
But this week's been great for me, actually.
Yeah. I'm glad you haven't gotten sick. Sophia hasn't gotten sick, but yeah, Saturday night I started feeling funny, and then Sunday I was just pretty sick all day.
We'll spare the details, but let's just say it was a really bad stomach bug.
Yeah.
Kind of the same thing as when you get food poisoning.
Oh, okay.
Only it's not food poisoning.
Yeah, no, because I'd shared the same amount of food with other people.
Well, and the sickness has been going around our people, so.
Yeah. So we stayed home on Sunday. I'm going to have to fix my blanket. It's uneven.
I have no idea what day of the week it is because we missed church on Sunday. And yeah. I keep having to look at my calendar to know. Was it Monday or Tuesday?
Yeah. And today is Wednesday that we're recording. That was my phone somewhere. I should put that on silent.
But it's Wednesday before church.
Correct. Not Wednesday after church, which is nice.
We keep trying to avoid because why have a podcast about how to be a good layman in your church but then have to leave church early all the time to record a podcast about it?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. So we're actually getting it recorded ahead of time. On time. Not quite on time. On time would have been yesterday, but because of my sickness, my throat was messed up still as a kind of a residual effect, and so I couldn't really talk, and I wasn't feeling that great on Monday. And on Tuesday, my voice sounded funny. Today, it still sounds a little bit funny, but not near as bad as it did, so it was good enough, so we didn't have to miss another week and keep going bi-weekly for like 2 months.
Yeah, I feel kind of bad about that.
Yeah, so we're back for 2 weeks in a row, which is nice.
We'll see what happens next week.
Yeah. But you've been both before, during, and after my sickness, you've been able to get some gardening done.
Yeah. It's nice to have it helps to have a toddler because that gives me more of a goal incentive.
Wait, it helps to have a toddler?
Well, because then the toddler wants to get outside, and I'm we need to get outside. And then I just weed.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Sometimes she's kind of in your way.
Yeah. And then I just play with her. But I always get a little bit done, and a little every day is plenty.
Yeah. So what are we planting? Maybe that'll be our new other segment. We should start another podcast. What are we planting?
I decided to go a little easy this year just because I hadn't had a chance to really prep the garden, like till it, all of that stuff. And there's tons of leftover plants. I kind of wanted to know what the previous owners had planted to see if there was anything in there that I enjoyed. And there were already some exciting plants. But what I did plant was a couple tomato plants, a cherry tomato. Daniel really wanted a jalapeno plant, pepper plant, and
we also have some onions that we don't really care about.
I didn't really plant anything. Oh, the onions, I guess we planted. They're wild
onions.
Those
will be nice. I mean, we use onions and stuff.
Yeah, but there's a lot of previous.
There's some raspberries.
Raspberries, strawberries, I think maybe blueberries. I can't quite figure out what the plant is.
Okay.
I looked it up and it said something like a wild blueberry, and I don't know if that just means a type of flower or if it's going to have blueberries.
Okay.
So we'll see.
And then chives?
Chives.
Mint?
And then there's mint, but I pulled that up.
Okay.
Because I think mint should only be in a pot. It spreads really bad, like just as bad as Creeping Charlie. And we already have Creeping Charlie. So hopefully I took care of that, nipped it in the bud. There's still a little I need to pull up, but it's under control,
and there's one other.
I think.
Sage.
Sage. And then there's some rhubarb too.
Yep.
And who knows what else is under the weeds because I've only gotten about half the garden done so far.
Well, you've gotten like half the garden done.
Yeah. And gardens look so much prettier when the weeds are out of them.
Yeah. It would look better too if it was like darker soil, but this is like a light colored soil, it seems like. Like it's a darker color, but it's like very
It's actually dry. Really nice soil. Like underneath maybe an inch, it's super dark and moist.
Yeah, I do remember that when we put the shovel through it that it did look better.
Tons of worms.
Yeah. That'll be good. We've had to buy a couple gardening accoutrements.
Yeah, well, we need a few more.
Yep.
But we're adding to it.
We're piecing them together. We got to get next on the priority list is either shoes for me for like nice tennis shoes or a garden hose so that we can have people over for s'mores. because we have a place for s'mores, but we don't have a garden hose that reaches back there to like tend the fire, put it out just in case.
Right. Like so, just in case. Most of the time you don't need a
hose,
but it's good to have when you're going to have fires in your yard.
Yes. And we want to burn in the back too, so we're going to probably have to get a couple 100-foot hoses, I think.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that because that pile's way back there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. We'll see.
Yep.
Or maybe we'll have some neighbors that want to take all our stuff and burn it on their burn pile.
Well, and it's nice to know that we don't have to move out in a year. Like, we have time every summer to improve.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to get everything done this summer. Yep.
And one of those things has been mowing. I've been able to get some of that done, even though it's all push mowing. We have 0.64 acres-ish.
It helps to have neighbors with nice yards that take care of their yards, because then it's more accountability. I don't know. It makes me like, oh, we should probably mow.
Yeah. When we have a retired couple that like mows their lawn a couple times a week just because he likes to get out there and mow, then it really makes me be like, oh, well, I can at least do once a week.
And we have another neighbor that goes crazy. He's always out there like
aerating
and dividing the grass blades. And
well, I think he's trying to rejuvenate a bigger portion of the lawn because if I remember right, they were the ones that had horses.
Oh, yeah.
So he's probably trying to recuperate some of that stuff that was just trampled for years or something.
And they used to have, they used to have a barn that they took down, too.
Yep. So, been doing gardening, been doing mowing, and I got a new pillow. It just came in yesterday.
Yeah.
I got a purple pillow.
Had your first night of beauty rest last night?
I had the height set a little bit wrong. So there's like, Desiree has a purple pillow. You've had it for?
Since college, right?
Yeah.
So that would be 2018.
So like 3 years?
Yeah.
4 years? Something like that? I think three. Around three.
We've been married almost 2 years. So it'll be about three.
Yeah, it'll be 2 years a week from today.
Yeah.
Yep. So I got one because I really liked hers, and mine was just not really supporting my neck.
Yours was kind of deteriorating.
Yeah. And mine changes the firmness based on how warm it is in that house.
Mm-hmm.
It's really weird. It did really well. It got me all the way through college, and it helped. But I was ready
for something that supported my neck. It's really good for road trips.
Yeah, it's true, because it's not heavy.
Well, even then, like propping it against a car door or something, it's really good for that because of the memory foam.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah, it stays. I don't know. You took it on Corral, and I used it more than you did, I think.
Yeah, you did. But I got that new pillow. It's helping me out quite a bit. I'm enjoying it. I knew I would like the purple pillow. I didn't just get it because I saw a bunch of ads for it. Because
you had slept on mine for a little.
Yeah. I knew exactly what I was expecting. I was like, well, because it can be kind of polarizing. Some people love it. Some people hate it. But I knew I liked it. So,
if you take care of it, it should last a long time.
Yep. I hope so. All right. That's basically all we're doing. There's probably some more things, but that's the highlights and some of the lowlights.
Oh, there's more. We just don't have to tell you all about it.
So now what we're learning, we're back in the catechism again, and we're on catechism question number 5. I got to do my little zoomy zoom again. There we go. I'm zoomed in. And this question is under the broad doctrine of?
God.
Yep, which would
what
be?
What does the Bible teach about God?
I was thinking the name of the doctrine.
Godology. Sorry. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's not listed on here. I'm asking if you know what this doctrine is.
Well, now I have to go through the list of doctrines in my brain.
Well, it's the doctrine of God, which is called
theology.
Theology
is proper.
There you go.
I knew because there's a bibliology, and I'm like, what goes before the ology? But then I'm like, no, it's not
theos.
That.
Theos goes before the ology.
Theology proper.
Okay, so we're answering the broad question, what does the Bible teach about God? Which means we're studying theology proper from Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the specific question we're asking today?
How did God make all things?
Correct. And how does Pastor Danny answer the question? I'll go ahead and read it while Desiree takes a sip of her.
I'm like, wait, I'm right in the middle of a sip.
She's sipping her chai tea latte. The answer to how did God make all things that Pastor Danny's going to submit and support from Scripture is, God created all things out of nothing by his word. He made the heavens and the earth and everything in them in 6 literal days, and it was all very good. I'm noticing already that my voice is probably going to wear out pretty soon. I'm probably going to have to start sucking on some water. We'll see if we can make it through this one.
Do you need my water bottle?
Yeah, probably. All right. So we'll go through Scripture. We'll alternate back and forth on the Scripture, But I'm going to have you read probably most more of the stuff, paragraphs yeah. and things, and I'll just jump in here and
even
there.
Even though I almost choked on my graham cracker earlier.
Yeah, it's just a rough day for voices, I guess. Oh, well. I'm looking forward to our break from the podcast when we can tweak some. Sorry, this is an aside. I'm looking forward to our break from the podcast where we can tweak some things, where we can get some episodes pre-recorded, so that way if we are sick, we have some on the back burner that we can throw in. That would be really helpful. If my voice is down for a week, then it's okay. We probably won't miss any in there because we
can get things like that.
Vacations, things like that. We can have some ready to go.
Maybe we could line up some guests. So just have people over for dinner and have the guests and pre-record those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we already
have some that are wanting to do that. But anyway, for today, we'll go ahead and make it through, even though my voice is probably going to get raspy. Sorry, guys. But we'll go ahead and work our way through this answer. So before we delve too far into like his explanation, we'll read the scripture that he presents here, and we'll read the supporting scripture all the way at the end too. So
first, I scrolled to the supporting scripture, so you're going to have to read the other one.
Okay. So our main scripture text, which would be the text that you'd memorize if you're using this traditionally like a catechism is meant to be used, would be Exodus 20:11, which reads, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." And that would be our key text. So Desiree, what's the first supporting passage that we'll reference as we go through the explanation?
That would be Hebrews 11, verse 3. "By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible."
Mm-hmm. And John 1, verse 3, which would be scripture reference number 2 here, reads, "All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made," that is, Christ.
Psalm 29, verse 4, "The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty." Wow, I am struggling.
Yep.
Sorry.
Exodus 23, verse 12 reads, "6 days you shall do your work, but on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may have rest, and the son of your servant woman and the alien may be refreshed." Exodus 23, verse 12.
Ooh, and then I have Proverbs 8:22 through 31.
This is a chunk.
"The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth, when there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills I was brought forth, before he had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the children of man."
All right, that is quite a chunk, and I'm excited to see how he uses that and applies that to our question for today. Last text is 1 Timothy 4, verses 4 and 5, which read, "For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer." 1 Timothy 4, verses 4 and 5. All right, so jumping into our explanation, after a brief break to take a couple drinks there, we're going to look at how Pastor Jenny explains our answer, which is he'll break down piece by piece that God created all things out of nothing by his word. He made the heavens and the earth and everything in them in 6 literal days, and it was all very good. So, first paragraph of our explanation, Pastor Danny says this, "In our first question and answer, we learned that God is the creator of all things. Everything that is, everything that exists, has been made and has been made by God. And, as we see in our answer above, all things includes the heavens and the earth and everything in them. God is the only creator, and no one and nothing else can create like God has created. Between this question and the next two, we'll explore further what this means. How did God create? And what is his creation like?" So those are some more questions we'll get to.
Mm.
Now, the first statement he makes, "God created all things by his word." You want to read the explanation for that?
Sure. In saying that God created, we are not saying that we don't make things. In fact, we make all sorts of things, and sometimes we just can't help ourselves. Yet we are not creators like God is, not even close. When we make things out of stuff that already exists. Whether it's baking or building or anything else, we use stuff to make other stuff. But when God created, he made all things without using anything that already existed. Scripture reference 1. Why? Well, for one, because nothing existed except him before he made all things.
That's a pretty good reason. I mean, if you don't have anything to use, you're not going to use anything.
You had to have created, yeah. And for another, God didn't use anything, not only because nothing existed before he created, but even more because he didn't need anything in order to create. All God needs is himself, and all God needed to do was speak. His word was enough. His word is powerful. Scripture reference 3. His word makes things happen. That's how God created all things. He spoke and things that never existed before began to exist. And everything that God spoke into existence obeyed his voice right away and in exactly the way that God had commanded. For example, when God said, "Let there be light," Genesis 1:3, guess what happened? There was light. Light, not darkness. Well, I'm confused about how this is written.
There was light. Light, not darkness, was... It began to exist, and it was as soon as God spoke.
Good job.
Thanks.
Can you do that? I know I can't, but God can, and he did. He made all things simply by his word, by speaking.
It's almost as if all of the things that are actually made up of words.
Mm.
Which is an interesting concept that we'll touch on hopefully in a later episode, but it's something to ponder. Like the... When you start breaking down things even scientifically to what is this made of and what is that made of, eventually there's going to have to be something supernatural
mm-hmm.
that is the fundamental building block. And some would propose that that is God's words.
Oh.
It's words.
I would just say God, but you know.
Well, but everything being
isn't
made of God.
Isn't made out of God. That's
yeah.
true. That's true.
That's a whole different
Because then you become
heresy.
What's that called?
I don't know. We'll have to look it up.
Pantheism? I think it's pantheism.
Ooh, it might be. You can Google that on your own time, folks.
Okay.
All right. So that explains a little bit of God creating all things by his word. But how about the time frame? Well, the scripture says that God created all things in the 6 literal days. So let's mm-hmm. read that explanation. This is how long God took to create all things, 6 days. And when we say 6 literal days, we are saying both that it actually happened and that it happened in 6 sequential actual days. While we might refer to a day as a 24-hour period, the Bible is no less clear in how it describes the actual days of creation. There was evening and there was morning, the first day, Genesis 1:5, and so on with the remaining days of creation. But why did it take God 6 days? Was it because he couldn't get it all done in one day or even 1 second? Not at all. That God took 6 days to create all things has nothing to do with his ability or power, and everything to do with his creativity and purpose. Now there's an interesting angle. I'm going to pause there. Most of the time, we think, wow, it's amazing that God was able to create all of this in 6 days.
Mm-hmm.
But why did it take that long?
Yeah.
Like, if we're talking about an infinite being, why did it take that long? It's a good question. And I'm sure we're going to get to that. He had a purpose for... This is Pastor Danny talking again. He had a purpose for why he made all things, and he had a purpose for how he made all things. So... For example, think about each of the 6 days of creation in Genesis 1:2 through 2:3. One day, on days 1 through 3, God created the appropriate environments, day and night, atmosphere, land, vegetation. Then, on days 4 through 6, he created all of the appropriate things that would fill each of their respective environments, sun, moon, and stars, sea creatures and birds, land animals, and humans. Do you see the order in God's creation? And that's just the beginning. Now, think about the entire 6 days together. Why 6 days? Well, together, the 6 days of creation formed an intentional pattern that God established to regulate our lives. This is what our verse above, Exodus 20, verse 11, helps us understand. The 6 days of creation, along with the 7th day of rest, are the foundation for our weekly rhythm of life. We know it as our 7-day work week. He set the example of work and rest, which are both a part of his perfect design for our good.
Mm-hmm.
So there's one answer to why God took 6 days. And one of the most brought out answers that we see
yeah.
in Scripture. I missed Scripture reference 4 in there, but it was in there. our 7-day work week was scripture reference number 4. All right. I don't have too many comments on there, and I think you might address some of the ones I have in mind. So let's go ahead and move on. Do you want to read the explanation for God created all things, and it was all very good?
Sure.
Because that's important as well.
Yes. So God made everything, and he did so in 6 days. And throughout the 6 days of creation, we are told many times that it was good. Genesis 1, 10, 12, 18, 21, 25.
That's several times.
Mm-hmm. Then, at the end of day 6, after he had made humans, we are told that it was all very good. Genesis 1, 31. It was all good. That God made, what God made, how God made, and why God made all things was very good. This is God's assessment of his work. God saw that it was good. This is how we should think about his work. But what does it mean that all of creation was very good? We can think of the goodness of creation in a few different ways. It was good, not bad, meaning nothing was initially evil. It was good, not broken, meaning everything worked as it was supposed to. It was good, not so-so, meaning all that God made was ideal or perfect. And so it was good, not ugly, meaning that what God made was pleasing or beautiful. God knows what is best and does what is best. And all of creation bore, and in many ways continues to bear, the marks of a perfectly good and wise creator. Scripture reference 5.
Mm-hmm.
All of creation was good, yet it wasn't good on its own. It was good because God is good and God made it all. And with that, all of creation's goodness was intended by God to reflect and point to his goodness. Yet, is this what we see today? Admittedly, now several thousand years removed from God's creation week, things look a lot different. And in fact, all things except God are different. The goodness of creation has been marred and scarred, but it is still there. Though we'll look at this more in later questions and answers, for now, remember that though creation has been greatly impacted by badness, sin, it is still God's creation, and in many ways, it is still called good. So, we should receive his good creation with care and thankfulness, and we should allow his creation to direct our attention to his power, faithfulness, and goodness.
So, he points out several things in here about what it means that it was good, and he does so both in the negative and in the positive.
Mm-hmm.
I like the way he breaks that down because it helps us to ask a little bit better questions. So, we can see that in the text in Genesis and go, okay, God said that it was good. Great, I know it was good. But do we actually stop to think about what does it mean that something is good? Not usually. Maybe some of us actually think about what that means. We know that it wasn't bad. Okay.
Yeah.
But what does that actually mean? What are some other ways to state that? What are some qualities that that thing must possess to be good? And he breaks that down. Everything worked as it was supposed to.
Mm.
Okay. That's good. Everything was according to design. Everything came out as planned. That's good. It was not so-so. It was ideal or perfect. He says also that it was not ugly. Everything that God made was pleasing and beautiful. And I still sometime want to delve into the objectivity of beauty. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That beauty is based in an objective thing. I want to explore both that and the role, the importance of people's differing tastes, where mm-hmm. that comes from, whether it's good or bad, and how to properly view taste and beauty in relation to one another, mm-hmm. those type of things. It's something that I want to get to. But one thing we know about early creation is that whether or not me, if I was able to see creation now, would think that it was beautiful, I know that objectively it was beautiful as it was good.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
Looked like he zoned out for a second. So I appreciate the several different aspects that Pastor Danny brings out here of what it means that original creation was good. You want to go ahead and close it out?
He says, this is what the Bible teaches about God.
Sounds like you're getting your sassy voice on.
No.
He does emphasize the this. This is what the Bible teaches about God. All right. That's going to answer our question and wrap up the first 5 questions of the doctrine of God. There are 5 more left, and hopefully you'll be able to get into them in the coming days. Hopefully that was helpful. Hopefully you learned something, or hopefully it drew your mind to the beauty and goodness of God. All right, last segment. What do we have, Desiree?
I don't know, because I don't know how to exit out of this page.
I think it's F11. It gets you out of full screen. Oh, you flipped your thing around and you did the flipsy do.
F11? The there's no Fs.
Oh, it's got like a square with arrows in from the edges.
Oh, okay.
It's the looks like an exit full screen button.
Nobody's going to be asking me for my tech help. Okay, what?
What are we reading?
Oh, I am on the last book of the Wingfeather Saga.
We're both reading about kings.
Yeah.
What's your book called?
Although, if nobody's read that series yet, you kind of like burst a little bubble there, so.
What?
Yeah.
How did I burst a bubble?
Well, because, well, just, okay. What were you
going to ask? Name of your book?
The Wingfeather Saga.
No, the book.
It's the third book. Don't look at the title yet until you finish the first.
What? You can read the titles of the books. You're on the fourth book.
Don't read the titles until you've finished 1 through 3.
No. What's the name of the fourth book?
Okay. The name of the fourth book is called...
The Warden.
The Warden and the Wolf King.
Yep. And the book that I'm reading right now is called...
Chestnut King.
The Chestnut King. We're both reading about kings.
Sounds like a total kid's book.
Yeah. Because both of them are. Only mine's an older kid's book and a cooler kid's book.
Is it really?
I think it's aimed at a little bit older audience. You said yours was aimed at super young kids.
I should read something nonfiction before I read 100 Cupboards, though.
Yeah, just to break it up.
Yep.
But how are you liking it so far? Can you give another update on the series? Because at first you thought you weren't going to like it.
Yeah, I'm still enjoying it. I think I would still say the third book was the third. Yeah, the third book was my favorite.
Which is called?
The Monster in the Hollows? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, but I'm so involved in the characters' lives now that I need to finish, you know. Mm,
okay.
See how it ends. And I already have some suspicions about who the bad guy is.
Is it one of those where you don't know who the bad guy is the whole time?
Well, I mean, his name is, like, the Nameless, so.
Oh, I haven't read him, so I don't know. Okay. I finished book 2 of 100 Cupboards, and now I'm on, which is called Dandelion Fire, and now I'm reading Chestnut King. Mm-hmm. Which is book 3 of a 4-book trilogy.
And Sophia's reading Baby Elephant and something about springtime and Dr. Seuss's Big Fred and Little Joe or something.
Big Dog, Little Dog.
Big Dog, Little Dog.
Are you sure you read titles? You kind of skip them when you read Sophia books. That could be why.
Yeah, I Maybe do. It's you even read the title page, and I'm like, you don't have to read that. You don't have to read that.
She likes it. She does.
She doesn't care. Yeah.
So
she
I read
likes
it.
Flipping the pages.
Mm-hmm. And this is one more page that she gets to flip. She's getting practice. She's mm-hmm. going to be all ready to let the pages flick her fingers, as N.B. Wilson would say.
She already pinches her fingers in the pages, so yeah. She's on the right track, I guess.
She slams the book on her fingers, and then is like, ow, why did my fingers hurt?
I don't know what to do.
Yeah, she's so funny. I'm still liking 100 Cupboards.
Good.
The series as a whole. There were some things coming that I anticipated the general idea of that type of thing coming, but still didn't love. But I'll go ahead.
That's so
vague.
Yeah.
I know. That was not helpful to anyone. I'm so sorry. If you know any of how N.D. Wilson writes, then you're going to expect these type of events. But I didn't. But someone told me that I might want to expect those things when reading his stuff. And so I did. And so they happened. And now I'm like, okay, I expected that. But
I think I know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But I'm enjoying it. It's still a page turner. There's action. There's stuff happening. And I'm trying to figure out what's going on. And I enjoy that about a book when I'm trying to guess what's coming. So I've enjoyed that quite a bit. It's not like Monk where I'm able to guess what's going to happen after in the 10 minutes into every episode. I haven't gotten all of them right. What are you giving me that look for?
Nothing. I was just thinking about it, laughing.
Okay. So Sophia's reading a couple books too, but I'm also working on reading stuff for, again, prepping for teaching on the Lord's Supper. But
oh, yeah.
That's nothing I was going to put on here. Anything else?
Of like what we're reading?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Okay. No. Well, that's going to wrap it up. You want to close it out?
I don't even know what to say. You have it memorized because you say it all the time. I wouldn't know unless you wrote it down.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us. Until next time, keep serving or start serving within your local church. Bye.
Bye.